Get ready to hear the latest American news on a show unashamed to speak the truth. And now your host, John Gale.
Well, welcome everyone to this edition of the John Gale Program. Today, Friday, January 28th, 2022. Much going on in the world today, including West Virginia governor. He told Bette Midler to kiss his bulldog's butt and held up the dog in a speech. Also, the Tiger King has been sentenced to 21 years in prison, and a mom is going off on her child's school for locking the kid up in the library because they weren't wearing a mask. That and so much more heading your way next on the John Gale Program. Thank you, Eric Kirk, for being here in the live Podbean chat room. If you are downloading this podcast on the many podcast forums like Google Play or iHeartRadio, Spotify, or the many others, we encourage you to check out the app called Podbean. It enables folks to join into the chat and also do live call-ins. Check it out online, Podbean, P-O-D-B-E-A-N. So much more coming your way next. Keep it right here.
Well, each and every weekday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, John Gale has a podcast live on the Podbean app. I may indeed be dead, but if I were alive, I'd give the John Gale Program a listen. I'm Ronald Reagan, and I approve this message. God bless John Gale, and God bless the United States of America.
You're listening to the John Gale Program.
Well, welcome, Eric. Thank you again, my friend, for being here and the administrator of the John Gale Program. Eric does a great job and just going to give him some kudos right off the bat. Well, while the controversy surrounding transgender University of Pennsylvania swimmer Leah Thompson has largely centered around the issue of fairness in women's sports, and we've been covering it extensively here on the program, the very practical matter of locker room usage is now reportedly a problem. The Daily Mail reported that some of the University of Pennsylvania swimmers aren't comfortable now with having Thomas in the locker room. It's definitely awkward because Leah still has male body parts and is still attracted to women, a member of the swim team told the outlet. The individual informed the outlet that although Thomas utilizes a towel sometimes to conceal, there is a fair amount of nakedness in the locker rooms, and the swimmer and other individuals have seen Thomas's private parts, according to the outlet. The swimmer said that the team members have brought the matter up to a coach in an effort to get Thomas removed from the locker room. Multiple swimmers have raised it multiple times, but we were basically told that we could not ostracize Leah by not having her in the locker room and that there's nothing we can do about it. And we basically have to roll over and accept it, or we cannot use our own locker room. The swimmer said it's very upsetting because Leah doesn't seem to care how much it makes everyone else feel. The swimmer said, there are 35 of us who are just supposed to accept being uncomfortable in our own space and locker room for the feelings of one. If you recall, Thomas has racked up wins while swimming against women in one race last month. Leah finished more than 38 seconds ahead of the second place finisher. We've talked very much about the body proportions of Thomas, who actually swam for Penn State for 3 years as a male. But while athletic fairness represents a key concern for critics who oppose allowing biological men to compete in sports designated for women, the issue of nudity in locker rooms also highlights another significant problem. It's definitely awkward because Leah still has male genitalia and is attracted to women and has gone on dates with other women. The school was so focused on making sure Leah was okay and doing everything that they could possibly do for her that they didn't even think about the rest of us, one teammate said. So we're getting more and more of the story as the months go by. Another story that I just read recently, gang, about Leah is that she seems to really like this notoriety that she is receiving. And I don't know, if you still have male genitalia, should you be in a locker room naked with a bunch of other biological females, even if you claim to be a female yourself? Doesn't seem right to me. What do you guys think? Let me know in the comment section of the chat room. Well, an enraged mother of a student attending a Nassau County, New York high school shouted down some administrators on Tuesday after discovering that her daughter had been held in the school library all day because she refused to wear a mask. a trending video on social media showed. Here's the audio from that video.
Nobody locks my kid in a goddamn library. This is not a detention camp. This is an educational facility. Look me in the eye then. Don't just sit here and look at your phone. I need to get my daughter. I don't know. What library was my kid in? Because nobody locks my kid in a fucking library in the main office.
Where's the main office right here?
So,
mm-hmm.
Go left.
This is not a detention center. This is a public education facility, the mother said. In a subsequent tweet, libs of TikTok identified the district where the incident allegedly took place as the Manhasset Union Free School District. Manhasset is a hamlet of the North Shore of Long Island, about a 20-minute drive from Queens. Soon after the tweet was posted, the district disabled comments and eventually deleted its Twitter account. As the incident played out, New York State was in the midst of some back and forth over Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul's mask mandate. On Monday, a Nassau County judge struck down the governor's mandate. However, just one day later, another judge granted the state an interim stay on the matter, keeping in place the mask mandate until the end of the week. The incident evidently caused enough of a stir to attract law enforcement. A TV reporter said the Nassau police showed up at the school following the student's refusal. The police said that students were not forced to remain at the school. We share the community's frustration, wrote acting superintendent of schools Dr. Passy, who blamed the incident in part on the confusion surrounding whether the mask mandate in New York had been struck down or not. He continued to say it is understandable that there was great confusion today around the mask mandate, adding that the vast majority of students at all three of our schools complied today with the district's request to wear masks. He went on to say that less than a dozen students arrived at the secondary school without masks and were provided with masks by the staff, but a handful of students declined to wear the masks and were asked to wait in the library while building and district administrators considered the matter. So it seems like it remains unclear whether the mask mandate will remain in place going forward there, but mom's really upset. They locked the kids in the library, wouldn't let them out. So there's more to it, I think, than is being purported. Welcome, Ralph William, to the podcast tonight. Glad you're with us, Ralph. Ralph hosts the WESN network, a streaming radio network station over the internet. And we encourage you all to check that out. You can download the app for that. Just search for it's eluding me very quickly. The Epic Strategies Network. Yes, thank you very much. The brain still works occasionally, even when it's misfiring. Well, a West Virginia governor. Yes, Jim Justice. Guys, this deserves the this deserves the meow of the day. If Tron Cat were in the room, he concluded his State of the State address just yesterday by lifting up his pet, his English bulldog named Baby Dog, and showing off her butt. Yes, sending a message to actress Bette Midler.
Absolutely, too many people doubted us. They never believed in West Virginia. They never believed in West Virginia. And so from that standpoint, Baby Dog tells Bette Midler and all those out there, kiss her honey.
Kiss her hiney.
God bless y'all.
West Virginia Governor Jim Justice there telling Midler he can kiss his dog's hiney, holding up the butt to the cameras for the speech there. Midler had made some disparaging comments, evidently, about West Virginia following the Democrat West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin's refusal to support President Biden's Build Back Better bill, which is pretty useless. This is what Bette Midler wrote. What Joe Manchin, who represents a population smaller than Brooklyn, has done to the rest of America who wants to move forward and not backward like his state is horrible. Midler tweeted back in December. He sold us out. He wants us all to be just like his state, West Virginia. Poor, illiterate, and strung out. Well, of course, Midler immediately got some serious backlash for her stereotypical take, and she apologized later that same day, writing, "I apologize to the good people of West Virginia for my last outburst." What has Midler done in the last decade that recognizes her as any source of importance to society? She wrote that song, "What If God Were..." No, that wasn't her. She did the song about wings, right? "The Wind Beneath My Wings." That's like the latest I've heard from Bette Midler. She was in that movie Beaches. Justice's dog, Baby Dog, has become the de facto mascot of West Virginia. Well, meanwhile, Texas Governor Greg Abbott on Thursday, he sounded the alarm about the large amount of fentanyl coming through the southwest border, warning that there was enough of the deadly drug seized last year to kill hundreds of millions of Americans.
Doses to kill more than 222 million Americans are sweeping our states for one reason only. Joe Biden does not care that fentanyl is invading our states. If you look at the population group between the ages of 18 and 45, the leading cause of death over the past year is not COVID, is not cancer, it's not car wrecks. The leading cause of death of our fellow Americans ages 18 to 45 is fentanyl. And President Biden is doing nothing to address that fentanyl problem. The fentanyl is coming in from China through Mexico into the United States. Joe Biden does not care that people are dying today because of the open border policies that is allowing fentanyl to come into our country.
Welcome, Mike Tampa Bay, also VZB, Joyce. We've got some new faces in the Podbean Live chat room. We encourage you guys, if this is your first time checking us out, hit that follow button. We greatly appreciate it. We meet here each and every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the John Gale Program, Conservative Talk for the Next Generation. Eric Kirk says in the comments section, "Bette Midler is just another has-been," Midler once sang the song, "from a distance." That's what I was confusing with that. What if God were one of us, just a slob like one of us? I don't know who wrote that one, but Bette Midler came to mind for some reason. "God is watching us." Yeah, that's what she wrote. Thanks for clearing it up. She's still a has-been, Eric. I appreciate it. Well, fentanyl, guys, that Greg Abbott mentioned there, is an opioid for pain treatment. Most folks know it's between 50 and 100 times more potent than morphine. And in the fiscal year 2021, Customs and Border Protection, the CBP, you might hear that acronym a lot lately, they seized 10,586 pounds of the deadly drug at the southern border, which can be fatal in extremely, extremely small amounts. And that is up from just 4,558 pounds seized in 2020 and 2,633 pounds seized in 2019. So you can see what's happening here. China is pumping drugs into the United States for a reason and a purpose. And Biden doesn't seem to care one single lick about it. What is being done to protect our borders, guys? Absolutely nothing. Ralph Williams says, why not bring pot in instead? Yeah, at least pot is becoming more and more legal, at least in different forms to treat conditions here in the U.S. Well, new indictments and court filings are indicating, guys, that the special counsel, John Durham, he is investigating Hillary Clinton's 2016 campaign for feeding false reports to the FBI to incriminate Donald Trump and his advisors as Kremlin agents. Clinton's role in the scandal, though, still remains elusive. Top officials involved in her campaign have repeatedly claimed, some under oath, that they and the candidate were unaware of the foundation of their disinformation campaign. The 35-page collection of the now debunked claims of Trump-Russia collusion, known as the Steele dossier, even though her campaign, Hillary's that is, helped pay for the dossier, they claim that she only read it after BuzzFeed News published it back in 2017, because Clintons, they seem to be Teflon. They're made of Teflon like pans. Nothing sticks to the Clintons. but court documents, guys, behind-the-scenes video footage, and recently surfaced evidence reveals that Clinton and her top campaign advisors were much more involved in the more than $1 million operation to dredge up dirt on Trump and Russia than they have let on. Yeah, the evidence suggests, guys, that the Trump-Russia conspiracy theory sprang from a multi-pronged effort within the Clinton campaign, which manufactured many of the false claims, and then they fed them to friendly media and law enforcement officials. Clinton herself was at the center of these efforts, using her personal Twitter account and presidential debates to echo the false claims of Steele and others that Trump was in cahoots with the Russians, with more than 380 payments, guys. 380. It's not just you. Here, have $1 million. 380 payments from the Clinton campaign and the DNC being made. It is seemingly impossible that the candidate herself would not have any direct knowledge of the purpose or any of the information that was contained in the dossier, those payments or any earmarks being made, especially for those fusion GPS interests. Former Clinton campaign spokesman Brian Fallon told CNN in a separate interview she may not have been totally out of the loop. She may have known about the dossier and its financing before the election, but the degree of exactly what she knew is beyond my knowledge. If you recall, Clinton cited dossier information in the presidential debates, casting further doubt on claims that she was walled off from the opposition research. In the final debate back in October of 16, Clinton accused Trump of being Putin's puppet.
Look, Putin, from everything I see, has no respect for this person.
Well, that's because he'd rather have a puppet as president of the United States.
No puppet.
And it's pretty clear.
You're the puppet.
It's pretty clear you won't admit that
the
Russians have engaged in cyber attacks against the United States of America, that you encouraged espionage against our people.
Clinton claimed Trump did what the dossier falsely claimed that he did, conspiring with the Russian government to hack her campaign and steal emails. Which, you know, we still don't have, 50,000 of her emails because she drilled holes into her cell phone, though she supposedly she never read the Steele's report. Yes, Eric, thank you for the little boost there in the Podbean live chat room. Eric has let it out of the bag. No, it's not a secret. We are going to be doing some segments in the future here about real stories of folks who have been censored for their conservative positions on social media. Perhaps you've been put in Facebook jail. I was in Facebook jail for a while. Have you been put in Twitter timeout? Or maybe your account has been completely removed from social media for some ridiculous reason. Now, I understand if you're violating what their terms of service or their policies or things like that. But for other stupid reasons, like posting a meme that the computer algorithm for Facebook supposedly is able to cipher that you are some sort of whack job conspiracy theorist, and so they, you know, give you a dink. That's what I'm looking for. So if you have a bizarre story that's kind of intriguing, I would love to do a little interview with you for a upcoming podcast here on the John Gale program. One of the folks, I'm sorry, I can't quite, because of the font of your name, pronounce it, but they wrote it was over election fraud, and the proof I had, Facebook was in on it. Yeah, you know, there's talk that Russia paid for advertising on a lot of social media sites to try to sway the election. You know, not so sure about whether it really did sway the election. I think people had their mind made up regardless of what advertising they saw on any social media site. Well, thousands of police officers, guys, from around the country today filled snowy streets in New York City outside St. Patrick's Cathedral to pay their respects to fallen NYPD officer Jason Rivera. Rivera, who was 22, he was killed while on duty last Friday. The rookie cop, along with his 27-year-old partner, Wilbert Mora, was ambushed in Harlem while responding to a domestic disturbance call. Mora also died from his wounds just days later. Rivera's wife, Dominique Luzuriaga, the widow of Officer Rivera, gave a eulogy at the funeral today.
Please tell me you're okay. I know that you're mad right now, but just text me you're okay. At least tell me you're busy. I get no response. We used to share locations on Find My iPhone, and when I check yours, I see that you're at Harlem Hospital. I thought maybe you were sitting on a perp, but still, nothing.
The officer's wife blasted Manhattan DA attorney Alvin Bragg and the city's leftist policies on crime, saying you have the whole nation on gridlock. And although you won't be here anymore, I want you to live through me. The system continues to fail us. We are not safe anymore, not even the members of the service, the New York Police Department. I know you were tired of these laws, especially the ones from the new DA. I hope he is watching you speak through me. Officer Rivera's death greatly affected his fellow officers at the New York Police Department and all across the country, as was clearly shown by thousands of officers who came to honor him. I don't know if you've seen the photos, but the streets were literally filled with police officers. Well, we're going to talk quite a bit more ahead about some voting laws being struck down in Pennsylvania, and also some crazy stories, the Tiger King being put in prison for 21 years. That and so much more coming your way next. Keep it right here on the John Gale Program.
Hello, all of you deplorables. I'm Hillary Clinton. Bill and I like to listen to the John Gale Program every day over our cell phones, but then they wanted to see my emails, so we had to smash them all with a hammer. Now we download the podcast from John's website, thejohngaleprogram.com. It's mine and Bill's, as well as Chelsea's favorite conservative talk show. Be sure to like, share, and follow. Thanks, and look forward to seeing you in 2024.
You're listening to The John Gale Program.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Glad you're with us. Again, thanks to everyone who is in the Podbean Live chat room. Jeremy Cummings says the system is broken down because the people are broken, and there are people who benefit from a broken system, and that is what we're dealing with. You are definitely right, Jeremy. You know, the whole welfare system should be meant as a leg up and not a continuous handout. There are folks in our country, guys, who do need assistance. And we have things available for them. There are folks, handicapped folks, people who are in desperate situations that need help. But for the most part, the welfare that's being handed out and somewhat coming across as an entitlement, really, for those who receive it, needs to stop. Mike Tampa Bay says, was that Hillary plugging your show? Well, let's just say it was a computer deep fake, Hillary, Mike. Good old Hillary. It's the only way I could get her to say anything nice about me, right? Definitely so. Well, a 5-judge panel, gang, has ruled that the Pennsylvania Universal Mail-In Voting Law violates the state's constitution, an argument that conservatives have been making since it was enacted in 2019. That election law, guys, was what went on to play a very pivotal role in delivering the state of Pennsylvania, if you recall, in the dead of night after 11 p.m. in 2020. If you remember, Biden trailed Trump on election night, but somehow he pulled ahead as more and more mail-in votes were counted. So that has been struck down. But Governor Tom Wolf's administration, who is a liberal there, he's going to appeal the decision. It will now make its way to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, which has a Democrat majority, unfortunately, and has already dismissed a prior challenge to the law on a technicality. So from there, it's likely that they will reinstate the mail-in voting law despite the constitutional conflicts that exist. We live in an era where the judiciary is simply an activist wing for Democrats. While you're always holding your breath on how a Republican-nominated judge will rule, those put in place by Democrats, they typically vote in lockstep, don't they? Yeah, they really do. You know, this whole thing about early voting rights that they're trying to push. I heard Kamala, the vice president, talking about, you know, these poor moms with three kids in the backseat. They don't have a chance to vote. No, they're given multiple chances to vote. You could do early mail-in voting in most states. You could, you know, drop it off a zillion different drop-off places. You can have go to extended hours and early hours. If you can't get a chance, guys, to vote during an election, I don't know where you live or if you're in a cave somewhere, but come on. There are plenty of opportunities to cast your vote. Most folks who don't vote are frankly ones that don't really care about anything, yet they tend to complain a lot when things don't go their way. I say if you don't vote, you don't have the right to complain. Well, a very frightening Supreme Court justice pick, a possible pick, a potential pick, was shared during a segment on a Newsmax show hosted by Grant Stitchfield, who gave his theory as to the timing of Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer's plan to retire from the Supreme Court at the end of its current term. Listen to this.
Stephen Breyer just gave Joe Biden and, more importantly, the Democrats a gift with his announced retirement at the end of the term. Joe Biden will have a chance to appoint a successor. And his spokesperson, Jen Psaki, claims Joe will stand by his campaign promise to nominate a Black woman. For Democrats, there could be no better choice than Kamala Harris. Not because she'd make a great justice. She wouldn't. Oh. She would be a left-wing activist. But tapping her would give Democrats a chance to rescue themselves for 2024, following Joe Biden's epic failure as president here. Joe can't win. Neither can Kamala in 2024. So with her out of the way, appointed to the Supreme Court, he can tap a potential contender through the Democrat bench. Though that's a bench that is very weak. But what if, folks, what if he picked Hillary Clinton to be his vice president? Oh, oh, boy. Then what if he picks Hillary Clinton and then decides to resign a short time later? Hillary gets the White House and then ultimately the chance to run as an incumbent. If you don't think that they're thinking about this, think again. This is not far-fetched at all. This is one potential strategy that I promise you, who's thinking about? Barack Obama, Susan Rice, and George Soros. They're the ones considering this. After all, they're the ones who's pulling the strings, right?
Stitchfield was ridiculed and laughed at by most online liberals. The host's guest, although sounding a bit far-fetched there, would be more than a bit frightening, wouldn't it, should it come to pass? That would be horrific if it happened. What is sad to me is that nothing would surprise me at this point, you know? You know that they don't like Kamala's job that she's doing. But I don't know that she would be taken seriously as a Supreme Court justice. She might think so, but I don't think anybody else does. What do you guys think? Let me know in the chat room. Appreciate the information on that. Let's keep it clean, guys, by the way. We're a family-friendly podcast, so we appreciate clean content both in the chat room and in the phone calls. Well, Joe Exotic, you guys remember him from The Tiger King. He was handed a new prison sentence today. A federal judge resentenced the Tiger King star, whose real name is Joseph Maldonado Passage, to 21 years in prison today, rejecting pleas from the former zookeeper to keep him from prison.
And I'm standing in a cage with five full-grown tigers and lions.
You remember he was actually petitioning Trump to put him on the pardon list before Trump left office. Exotic was convicted in a murder-for-hire case involving animal welfare activist Carol Baskin, who he says fed her wife to the tigers at her animal zoo there. Both were featured in Netflix pandemic binge show, The Tiger King. You guys remember Goldie Hawn? Funny lady, comedian, kind of a ditzoid from the 60s and 70s. She warned the national trauma. She warned about national trauma inflicted on children by the COVID-19 pandemic, that it could approach or very well surpass the dread that was brought on by the 9/11 terror attacks and the Cold War. If you remember yesterday, we played a clip from a speech pathologist that is saying that they are seeing a 364% increase in autism-like non-communication in toddlers who are not communicating, not speaking properly because of the masks that everyone is wearing on their faces. That children learn a large percentage of communication, evidently, by reading lips at that age, and it helps develop their communicating language skills. They are seeing these symptoms happen as a result since the masks were put in place, a 364% increase in speech pathology problems in children. Hahn went on to explain that the COVID-19 pandemic has robbed adults and children of critical support structures that all humans depend on for perspective, encouragement, and love. The COVID era, she wrote in a USA Today op-ed, has changed our children's lives in far more real, tangible ways. Social distancing, school closures, daily mask use. Kids are afraid of people, spaces, and even the air around them, a level of constant fear not seen in decades. Goldie cited a report from the CDC that found emergency room visits for suspected suicide attempts by adolescent girls spiked to nearly 51% in 2021 and a 4% increase for boys. Our kids are committing suicide at a faster rate than ever since the pandemic. The movie star noted that the U.S. Surgeon General cautioned in December that the COVID-19 pandemic has had unprecedented impacts on the mental health of Americans' youth and families. When I picture Goldie Hahn, guys, I picture her on the days of Laugh-In. Remember those?
Oh, I don't know what's wrong with me. I keep forgetting things.
Well, how long have you had this problem?
What problem?
Well, we want to talk about four things that you guys didn't know yesterday. Four things, a little trivia fun that we like to play. But before we do that, let's open up the call-in phone line.
It's time again to open our live stream to you, the listeners. Woo-hoo! Want your voice to be heard? Click that call-in button now and be a part of the John Gale program.
I missed you, Eric. Hit me again. I didn't get to hit that invite in time. Thank you very much, my friend. Okay, so four things that you didn't know yesterday. Little trivia for you, gang, on this Friday, the end of the week. Number one is that scientists say that the Earth's moon is evidently destined to disintegrate in roughly about 5 billion years, which is about as long as, Nancy Pelosi has been in politics, right?
Did I hear a laugh over there?
Number two, a single cow can make roughly 200,000 glasses of milk in a lifetime.
Pass it on.
That's a lot of milk. 200,000 glasses of milk from one cow. Hey guys, let's do a timeshare on a cow and we can share the milk. I know some friends actually who do that with meat butchering. They will buy like a side of beef and split it up amongst four people and split up the costs. Very common practice, actually. Number three of four things you didn't know yesterday is that a snail, yes, escargot, if you're from France and like to eat them, a snail can sleep for as long as 3 years.
My name is Turbo.
Did you guys see that Turbo movie? My kids grew up on that. They liked it. Also, number four of the four things you didn't know yesterday is that MySpace, remember MySpace.com, the cursor, the precursor rather to Facebook and some of the social media sites that we all know and love today. MySpace still gets more than 8 million visits per month.
Check MySpace.
And there you go. Four things that you guys didn't know yesterday. Did you know, Eric, that MySpace was still in existence? I didn't know that.
I mean, it still is, but it's just basically a shell of its former self.
Evidently. I'm going to go over there right now and see what it's like. Let's type it in. MySpace. I remember I had a MySpace. It was more like you made a cute little page for yourself with some pictures and some, you know, different icons and stuff like that. Yeah, it's kind of a music. It looks like a music source, bunch of different stories. Decent looking site, actually, still. I don't know. I thought that they sold that to somebody. Welcome, Don't Hasselhoff. Also that guy. Appreciate you guys being here on this last day for the John Gale program of this week. By the way, guys, if you didn't know it or not, we are now streaming a, what do you call it? A pre-recorded version of what you're hearing right now at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For those of you who missed the first section of the podcast tonight on Ralph Williams' app there, WESN, the Epic Strategies Network. So check it out. I know the old man, Eric and Dina Joe, and a lot of other folks are there as well. It is W-ESN. Check it out. You'll be glad you did. It's nice to just have it going in the background. Plus, Ralph plays some really pretty cool jazz. I was listening to some of the music that Ralph plays. Well, gang, it's that time of night. Yes, it is. It's time for Today in History, this January 28th.
Today in History.
You know, I remember this. I'm going to share a very brief story about it as well. On this day back in 1986, the U.S. Space Shuttle Challenger exploded 73 seconds after its liftoff from Cape Canaveral in Florida.
NASA has confirmed that there was an explosion with the capsule, the shuttle itself. Aboard this flight, of course, the first teacher in space, Krista McAuliffe from New Hampshire. Also aboard the flight, pilot Mike Smith, commander Dick Scobie, Judy Resnick, and there it is. There you see that massive explosion in space. Obviously a very serious accident.
Very tragic time. I remember when Reagan then canceled the shuttle flights. Then thereafter that, the flight killed all seven aboard, including school teacher Krista McAuliffe, who had been chosen as the first American civilian to travel in space. The story that I have, you know, it's one of those, where were you when this happened? You know, the folks who lived through John F. Kennedy's assassination, they can tell you at the very moment that they heard the story about Kennedy's assassination. The same thing happened, of course, at 9/11. Well, prior to 9/11, pretty much the largest significant news event was the Challenger explosion in 86. I was literally watching it live on TV. And let's see, 86, I would have been 19 years old, something like that back then. And I was on the phone with my sister, Michelle, and we were watching. And I just usually just called her every morning and we chatted for a little bit, pretty much about nothing. And I called her and we were just talking and watching that together on the news. And I just said to her on the phone, wouldn't it be really weird if the space shuttle exploded? And literally in about 30 seconds time, that is exactly what happened. And it freaked me out, freaked my sister out. We all have little weird stories like that that happened to us. But what a tragic event that happened on this date, January 28th, 1986. On this date, in 1958, Godfred Kirk Christensen, whose father founded the company Lego in Denmark, filed for a Danish patent, which was later granted, for a toy building block that became hugely popular around the world.
Lego is here. Hey, kids, look, a whole new world to build. 'Cause Lego is here.
This young boy has such fun. He used Lego one by one.
Lego, a whole new world to build.
Legos and the pain that they provide for parents across the nation and probably everywhere around the world, stepping on them in the middle of the night. Legos. On this date, in 1979, January 28th, CBS News Sunday Morning, an American news magazine, first aired on CBS with host Charles Kuralt.
Good morning. Here begins something new. I'm Charles Kuralt, and this is Sunday Morning, 90-minute CBS News program that starts right now. Every Sunday morning, we're going to bring you the news, of course, but we're going to spend most of this hour and a half together trying to explain what's happening to ourselves and to you.
And I think that the CBS News Sunday morning show is still on the air, I believe, for about on Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. On this date in 1936, a birthday to celebrate, MASH actor, comedian, and actor, director, screenwriter Alan Alda was born on this date. Happy birthday, Alan.
While you're writing, make note of the fact that thanks to the failure of the world's various elected heads, not to mention just plain dictators, to keep a cold war from turning hot, I am forced to operate alongside a surgeon who can't trim his toenails without committing malpractice.
On this date in 1985, music stars gathered to record We Are the World. A special introduction by Quincy Jones sent out to several dozen pop stars invited to participate. in the recording of We Are the World. Quincy said, check your egos at the door before they started recording that. And on this date in 1990, this was the number one hit on the charts 32 years ago. Michael Bolton there, you know, he's kind of looked at jokingly by a lot of folks, but the guy is extremely, extremely talented. Amazing voice. Welcome, Shannon Lynn. Glad you're with us tonight. Thanks for coming back, Shannon. Appreciate it. Appreciate all of your likes and loves and follows and shares, guys. That would help us too with the engagement. Ralph William podcast is coming in on the chat line. Always, Shannon. Thank you. Welcome, Ralph. Glad you're here.
How are you, John? How's it going?
I'm good, man. How are you doing? How are things at WESN?
So far, so good. Now that we got you on there, I like it.
Yeah.
I just had a quick question, because you mentioned about the children and the masks. Because I noticed when I used to watch, when they had the launching for, I guess, the new robot from NASA, and the people were walking around, they would have these clear masks on. Why isn't, right. if it's good for NASA, why can't we at least have meet people halfway and have the children use those and still be able to communicate? That's great. Just an observation.
Very good. Really good point, Ralph. Yeah. You know, I've seen like some companies that have, you know, a type of mask that's clear. If you look online, you can find them. But, you know, whether they're, you know, effective or not, of course, masks are completely not very efficient, as is proven by the CDC saying that for the last 2 years that the masks that they've told us to wear are pretty much just face decorations. I use this comparison the last few days because it's a great image builder in people's minds. Masks to me are like throwing sand through a chain link fence. The micron size virus particles of Omicron and all the COVID-19 variants are so small that they pass right through the paper masks that we're wearing and the cloth masks that we're wearing. So they're very, very inefficient. And I love watching, I don't know if you guys have seen some of the memes online where people go outside, especially in the colder temperatures right now, and they're wearing their masks and they breathe and you see the steam, you know, from their breath because it's so cold outside, freezing in the air, and it's coming out from the sides of their mask, from the top of the mask, from everywhere around their mask. That just shows you that that virus is coming right off the sides. That's right out the top. Yeah, so I mean, it's pretty ridiculous. Does it stop minute particulates of spittle, you know, when somebody sneezes or coughs? Well, probably does. But the virus is an airborne virus that, you know, when you sneeze, it atomizes and goes out a micron size and lands in the air and stays there for several hours. So I really don't think it does anything to protect us at all. But I totally get your point, you know, for the children at least. Let's give them something that they can still see, you know, faces with. But for that point, the children are so resilient. The chances of death for a child under the ages of 5 is something like 99.997% death rate. They have a greater chance of dying by being struck by lightning than dying from COVID, you know, deaths. So why even ask them?
Yeah, I know. If they want to keep this charade with the masks, then, I mean, at least meet certain people halfway. A buddy of mine a while ago sent me a, I guess it was like one of those promotional videos for a company that they're trying to, well, this was like 2 years ago when the pandemic just started. And I thought that this was the way that they were trying to move people towards to purchase these, I guess these helmets that you would wear. I guess it's more for like immune compromised people, like they can't have, it's like a updated version of the Bubble Boy. So I'm just wondering if that's what they're trying to do with all this mask wearing and killing people's immune systems and stuff like that. But thanks for having me, John. I appreciate it,
Ralph. Thanks for the input. A really good point of view there. You know, yeah, you see the folks at the Wuhan lab wearing the blow up little boy in the plastic bubble, see through plastic vinyl suits, you know, that they're wearing to protect themselves. They want us all to wrap up in some type of bubble wrap or something, but not sure. I just think it's all about trying to get us to comply. Trying to get us to do what they say and get used to it. I think it's all about sort of fear mongering and trying to to get us to do what they want. Mike, I'm sorry, man. Mike, Tampa Bay is trying to call in. He couldn't literally call in. Mike, why don't you just bow out and reinstall, or not reinstall, but just, you know, shut off the app and then come back in a minute and see if that works. Usually, you know, that's what all the technicians tell us to do when software doesn't work. Have you tried?
Is it plugged in?
Right, exactly. It's like that cup holder in the old desktops, you know, that's the CD holder. And the woman called in and say, oh, my cup holder isn't working. But there's no cup holder. Funny stuff. So, Eric, welcome, my friend. What are you thinking about all this insanity that's going on in the world today?
Well, I mean, nothing really surprises me.
Right.
But we've had, like, great interaction with the chat this evening.
Yeah, you guys are on it tonight, man. I appreciate that. We hit the end of the week with a good bang. That's always fun. I appreciate that. I was talking to Ralph earlier tonight, actually, guys, and I'm going to admit it. You know, sometimes you get a little down doing the podcast, and, you know, we're not big time. We're just little small potato folks that are just trying to work our way and be a voice, be a point of reason, and get other folks to engage and realize that we all need to stand up and say how we believe, whether we agree with one another or not. That's really what being an American is all about. And so earlier today, I was chatting with Ralph via messaging and was saying, you know, just a little discouraged that, you know, things aren't moving as fast as maybe than I would like. And, you know, that, of course, slow and steady wins the race. And I know that. And I appreciate everybody's support. But if there's any way that anybody can help us to sort of get the word out, I greatly appreciate it. Maybe you could share it on your social media pages or something like that. Tell your friends about us. It all starts with just a little spark, right? I mean, that's how fires begin, with one little ember. So did Mike?
Yeah, it all starts with going to the JohnGale.com site. Is that the handle?
Yeah, well, that's close, Ralph.
The John Gale program.
The John Gale program, all one big long word where you're going to have to type for 5 minutes to do the JohnGaleProgram.com, and it's G-A-L-E. All the links are there, some funny videos. I try to keep that, you know, changing every few days. I'll put a new video up or something like that to try to keep it fresh. I was on Twitter earlier. Some of the memes, you know, for all the talk, you know, I'm looking for folks who will share their stories of being censored on social media. What's odd to me is we've been doing this since, what, the end of October-ish, I think, is when we started the podcast on Podbean. And I've been pretty vocal, you know, set up the Facebook page and all that, and pretty much post something every day that's pretty derogatory, really, to the liberal left. And very conservative based kind of material. And I have not gotten any dinks now. I'm jinxing myself. They'll probably do it tonight. But I have not been trolled, or I've been trolled by folks here in Podbean like we all do, but I haven't been trolled on social media from any anti-conservative type sites. I saw that Dan Bongino got booted from YouTube after he voluntarily left yesterday, so that was kind of strange. He really doesn't.
I think he kind of did that on purpose. Well, according to what he says, you know, he says that
it seems like
that
it,
he
yeah.
purposely put out certain information just to kind of dare them to see. But I think he was looking for that to happen. You know, with Rumble being publicly traded, I guess now, or the company that has it.
Yeah, right.
So I guess he's trying to bring more traffic to it.
Yeah, and he's a big investor in Rumble too. So he,
oh yeah,
he's made a lot of money through Rumble. I think he started.
So am I. I think I jumped on there. I think I bought a couple of shares.
Yeah, I'm on Rumble too. I can't get but, you know, just a dozen or so views on some of the stuff there. I'll keep doing it just because I think it's a good platform. But I'm looking forward to Donald Trump's new social media site that's supposed to come out. I believe it's February 21st or right around that period, called Truth Social.
Or unless he's voluntarily delayed it till like March or April.
Oh,
because
did
we know Donald Trump's not going to. I think the friends I do a weekly Zoom call with on Saturday, I think read somewhere where that they might have like temporarily delayed it about a month, because we know Donald Trump's not going to do things too shabby. Because right. Like if you think about like Mike Lindell's Truth Social rollout back like last year, you know, clearly right. Mike Lindell did not have the right people in place, and we thought, you know, it would have been inclusive to people, say like. like Podbean talents like Ralph and James from Slightly Serious and John DeVito and other up and coming podcast friends, but apparently it just only seems to be exclusive to your much bigger names like your Diamond and Silk and your Ben Shapiro and
yeah, it does.
And,
it does kind
and
of
other well known names.
The big names. I think maybe as it grows and more folks get on it, because I could literally see it kind of giving YouTube a run for its money. You know, for the most part, people go to YouTube for any kind of clip, a movie clip or something that they're looking at from the past. All the stuff that I find for the Today in History bits, I usually get from a YouTube video and record the audio of it. So, I mean, I think as Rumble maybe gets larger and people start to host different type of things on it, not just conservative type of things, that it will get larger. Mike is in the house.
Oh, there's Mike now.
Yo.
Hey, Mike. I'm glad you finally made it. We hit like invite like 10 times there in a row. I don't know what happened.
I know. It gets like, it kept saying connecting or something. I don't know what it was doing. It was giving me issues. Apparently.
That is weird, man.
Yeah.
Well, I think some folks have been, you know, for the last couple of days, we've missed Mike. I think he's might have been a little bit under the weather, but here he is. Speaking of weather,
very much.
Let's get that Tampa Bay, Florida weather report, Mike. What do we got?
Yeah, I like that pun. Under the weather, currently 63 reporting at Albert Wood Airport in St. Petersburg. This weekend, cold, freezing temperatures, which I mean 52 for a high tomorrow. And a low of only 40. And for Sunday, a high of only 54 and a low of 46. That is freezing cold weather for us Floridians. West wind right now, currently at 10 miles an hour.
Wow. We got snow today. It's cold all day here in southwestern Ohio. So there's probably a couple inches on the ground right now. Be glad you don't have snow, right, Mike? I mean, come on. You got a little.
The only snow I've actually been intimately.
Be careful.
You're familiar careful. With are the ones, yeah.
Be careful with that.
I love
family
Ralph.
Friendly.
I love this guy. No, the snow down at the park when Santa Claus comes, they bring a bunch of shaved ice. And it's the only snow I've ever.
Did they really?
You know, dealt
that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
Careful.
Hey, the weather here in Georgia, I think we're going to be under a wind gust advisory overnight till like tomorrow afternoon, but. But tonight, I think we're going to really have a hard freeze with lows in the 20s. But feels like temperatures, like when you go up into the mountains, it's going to feel like single digits or the negative territory, especially if you get closer to Chattanooga.
Yeah. Oh, I love Chattanooga. That's one of my favorite cities to visit, man. Chattanooga, Boston. Did you see Boston got hit by or is being hit?
Oh, yeah.
By a huge.
I think you had a big nor'easter, you know, going up like the East Coast, which I know – you know, Ralph is like in that vicinity along with BP-49 and other friends of ours listening in New Jersey and most of New England and New York.
Yeah. Ralph, are you getting snow right now?
We started to get some. I'm in PA up in the mountains and we're starting to get some. It's very, very windy and cold, but it seems like we're going to be getting the brunt of it tomorrow, mid morning to afternoon, I think. So got my shovel ready, got my wood ready. We'll see what happens.
It always happens on the weekend. The poor kids have to go to school all the way, you know, and then it dumps on Saturday. That's how it always works.
Yeah. Lucky kids.
Well, they always say with dangerously cold temperatures, you know, like the four P's, plants, pets, pipes, and people.
That's good, Eric. Pets, plants, pipes, and people. And we're not talking about crack pipes since we brought up snow earlier.
Water pipes.
Make sure you bring your hoses in, right? Yeah. You know, the other year.
Wrap them up. Wrap the faucets.
Left it attached to the hose bib outside. And that next spring, man, it sprung a leak and had to replace that whole thing. It was a big pain in the butt. Make sure you take your hoses in there, right?
Going to get the fire pit going this weekend.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool. You do that? Do you do that, Mike? Do you have a fire ring in your?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I got like a about 2 foot high. Almost looks like a well, the kind you would see in that one horror movie with that girl that crawls out of it. But that's what it looks like. But yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Now I'm gonna
be careful with Tampa. Sorry. because of the tornadoes, man. I hear you guys are supposed to be getting some big winds over there.
Yeah, we're supposed to get some gusty winds, but it's, I don't know, man. It's when it's a water spout, it's a water spout. But when it hits land, it, I guess technically called a tornado, but they die out quickly.
Florida gets those water spouts, right? Okay. And we get tornadoes here in Ohio. Matter of fact, Xenia, Ohio, which was home to a huge tornado back in 1974, the big Xenia tornado that killed like almost a couple hundred people, I believe. Xenia is a city that means devil wind. The Indians named it. So why you would want to build? Why you would want to build a city where I guess the Weather Channel said the four winds converge or
warrior princess depends on how you pronounce it. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. The winds converge at this. Ralph, thanks, man. The winds converge in the city of Xenia, Ohio, supposedly. I don't know if that makes any sense because I know Oklahoma, they got tons of tornadoes out there out west too. So open land.
Make some marshmallows. Marshmallows and graham crackers this weekend, probably.
Some s'mores. You do the s'mores?
Some s'mores. Oh yeah. Good old tradition.
Have you seen the marshmallows, Mike? The large ones, you know, that are made for the s'mores. Oh, we've got those.
No, that sounds really good actually.
They're big and they're flat. And you put them on the graham cracker already, or you could do it in the microwave or however you want to do it if you don't have a fire pit. But they're square, and they're about 3 inches by 3 inches. It's a square, and it's a marshmallow, and it's flat. It's pretty sweet. Check it out. Eric, we're already up on that time. I can't believe it. 59 minutes in already. Eric, why don't you give us a quick update, Podbean across the world, and what's going on in the land of podcasting. Eric, Kirk, come on, Eric.
Coming up on Podbean Live this weekend, starting tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, you know, Felix and Ann present This WAP Doesn't Lie.
You want
and also
music?
Tonight, I'm good. Also coming up in prime time tonight, you've got Mysteries of the Paranormal at 9 p.m. Eastern, and you've also got the Wrap It Up podcast with Brandon, and you've also got later on this evening. But Brandon with the Wrap It Up podcast, in other words. But
okay,
you've also got the dude Sean, and you've also got Outside of Normal, you know, doing shows tonight. And then also throughout the weekend, you'll have the Nick and Tiff show. You'll also have Coltrane and Crazy Train. And Sunday evening, you have the It's Doomsday podcast next week. You've got the Ralph William podcast in the mornings, and you also have him over on WESN along with a few other friends. The Unsupervised podcast, the Old Man's podcast with DJ and Eric Mornings, the John DeVito show. That's getting a little too loud. You've also got, hopefully next week, James and Spanky and Michael Key will be feeling better from their COVID dilemmas, and we'll be seeing new episodes of the Beans and Weenie show, the Slightly Serious show, and Real Conservative Talk coming back, along with the Only Crazy Ladies Tuesday tarot card reading and the Frankie D show on Wednesday. And you've also got Solid Blue Sister in there somewhere, and Slack Radio 2 Alpha on Wednesday. And you've also got Low Standards and Poorest Comedy Podcast in Tuesdays in primetime. Chuck and Billy's Not Your Cup of Tea. And of course, and I know next Thursday is probably another Zoom call for a special event we're hoping to pull off next year that Shannon has and Pook and a couple other friends have discussed, and hopefully we might have a few more friends join us.
Absolutely. Thanks for the update, Eric. You're awesome. We appreciate it very, very much. There, I'll give you
Ralph to also check his Discord for a friend request from Shannon, and that way they can also discuss in detail what it's all about.
Absolutely. Thank you, Eric, guru of Podbean. We greatly appreciate you very much. And with that, guys, that's about enough to wrap it up here on this Friday edition of the John Gale Program, January 28th, the last Friday of January. Guys, it's already going to be February. It's insanity.
I might have a special disclaimer here besides the Omni Hotel. Guests of the John Gale Show stay at the All Suites Omni Hotel, located in the heart of Chicago's Magnificent Mile. And the official airline of the John Gale Program is Delta Airlines. You'll love the way we fly.
That's awesome. I love it, Eric. Yeah. We have our own airline for all the guests here. Appreciate you very much, Eric. Also, Mike and Ralph and everyone who participated in the chat room today, including Shannon and that guy, Joyce, Marty Clemens, and everybody else who was in here, Eric and anybody that I missed. So sorry. We'll do it again Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, you guys have a fantastic weekend. Stay warm, stay safe, and let's see. Be good. How's that? Be good to one another. Be kind. Rewind. We'll see you next time. God bless y'all. Take care. Bye-bye.
Later.
The views and current opinions expressed on the John Gale program are those of its hosts and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any social media platform on which it is hosted, nor their parent companies. Any and all content offered by the hosts, his guests, or individual callers heard on the show is strictly of their opinion and in no way intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, or individual person, living or dead. Although comments are moderated, the John Gale program holds no responsibility for chat postings and reserves the right to remove what we consider inappropriate or offensive content.
And with that, we will call it a close on this Friday. Take care. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.